Hi there, it's Karen from Simply Living for Him. Thank you for joining me today for this presentation on simplifying back to school, well, homeschool, that is. Today we're going to talk about simplifying the process of preparing to go back to another year of homeschooling and how we can look at that process and have it be less overwhelming and to keep our focus where it needs to be. For any of you who don't know me, my name is Karen DeBuse, and I write at two blogs, Simply Living for Him and Bible-Based Homeschooling, and I'm a homeschool mom of four children. My oldest is beginning eighth grade, and my youngest is actually just starting kindergarten this year, so it is the first year where we will officially have all four of our children officially homeschooling, and that's exciting to me. I write about simplifying all aspects of our life, and that includes my homeschool. I talk about simplifying in the practical aspects and how we can reduce clutter and things like that, but at the heart of simplifying is really God and getting rid of distractions so that we can clearly see our purpose and His purpose for us. We live in a very noisy world these days. The internet is full of so much information, and we as homeschoolers are blessed to have so much information available to us. But sometimes it can almost become overwhelming, and it can actually weigh us down. So we're going to talk about how we can sort through all of that and how we can start off our year well. You know, I like to talk at homeschool conventions and homeschool groups. I love to meet with homeschooling families and encourage them. I've always wanted to do a talk at this time of the year, back to school, but there aren't any homeschool conventions at this time of the year because everybody is so focused on back to school. And I've always thought, wow, it would be a really great time of year because we all need that reminder before we start our year to get us motivated and to really have our eyes focused on where they should be at the beginning of the year. So I was thrilled to have this idea to make my presentation into an MP3 download and just offer it to all my readers out there, because this way I can reach as many of you as I can and hopefully encourage you as you begin your new school year. Some of you may be starting out and this is your very first year. And if that's you, welcome to the journey. You are about to embark on an amazing journey. It will be full of ups and downs, but remember, that is how we learn. God is growing us each day closer to Him on all of those days that are down. And if you have been doing this for 20 years and you're out there saying, I am so burnt out, I can't do this another day, well, I hope this would encourage you as well. When I talk about simplifying homeschool, I really would like to emphasize the fact that we want to keep it simple because it's helpful to not be so overwhelmed. Yes, it's helpful to reduce clutter, but we want to get rid of all those things that really take our focus off of God. He is the purpose that we are homeschooling, and He is the one who called us to homeschool. I believe if you're a homeschooler, it's because you're answering a call. God has called your family to do this. And if you have answered with a yes, you are obeying that call. And that is exciting. When I first started homeschooling, I never, ever intended to be a homeschool mom. I had registered my daughter for kindergarten, which was at the school right around the corner from our house. I mean, how convenient. And something happened to me that year after I registered her, and I knew that she wasn't going to go to school. We spent a whole summer in a lot of prayer and seeking counsel from friends and searching the scriptures, and we truly felt that God was calling us to homeschool. At the time, I had no idea why. I wasn't a teacher. I wasn't trained as a teacher. I hadn't really thought about homeschooling before. I didn't feel I was organized enough or patient enough. I wasn't a super mom like those moms at homeschool. But guess what? That's not what God wants. God wants to work through us, and He gives us the strength to do these things. Of course I wasn't equipped. Is anyone equipped when they answer a calling? When a missionary goes overseas to a third world country, are they equipped to do all the things they do? Do you think they go into it without fear? No. God is the one who works through them and gives them the strength to do what they do. And as homeschooling moms, we're missionaries. We are missionaries right here in our homes. And it's okay that we don't feel equipped or we get scared, because that is how God works. He wants to work through us each day in our homeschool journey. Homeschooling is about so much more than academics. Yes, it's a wonderful way to provide an education. You can provide a fantastic education at home for your child, and all that is great. But truly, what I have learned on this journey is that we have grown closer to God as a family. The spiritual lessons that we have learned have far outweighed the academic lessons, and that to me is the most important thing. So when we look at preparing for back to school, what do? We normally get on the computer, we start searching out curriculums, we start searching out the best organizational systems, the best method for homeschooling. I admit, when I was a homeschooler in the early years of our journey, I would be ashamed to add up the amount of hours that I spent on the internet those first couple summers. I would go and look at every curriculum there was, and I was always looking for the best one and comparing the different ones and shopping around and reading reviews and really just getting wrapped up in it. You know, I forgot God is working through me in my homeschool, and He is going to work no matter what curriculum I choose. He will work. And the number one thing I needed to do back then was to seek Him before I went seeking the internet. I always say on my blogs, I've said it before, choose God over Google. The number one thing you can do before you start planning your homeschool year or before you are preparing to start a new year is to pray. Right? It's such a simple thing, yet do we do it? Do we forget? Do we pray and say, yes, God bless his homeschool and move on? No, I'm talking about steeping that homeschool in prayer, deep prayer. So what we need to do is spend a lot of time before we even start searching out curriculum and asking God a couple of things, asking him, what does he want our children to learn this year? How does he want them to learn? What does he want to teach me as their mom through this homeschool year? And spending time searching the scriptures, and then spending time just being still and quiet and listening. Most of us don't do that. We're quick to say, God, this is what we want. Bless our year, bless our homeschool, and move on. Spending time in the quiet, listening to him, get up early in those mornings and spend time with him before the noise of the day interrupts, and really seek him in these decisions. And I'm not saying you're going to open up your Bible and it's going to say, Karen, you need to go buy Apologia today. But when we are close to God and we are seeking him, it will be easier to follow his lead. It'll be easier to hear those nudgings from the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he will lead us to the exact curriculum that we need, and he will lead us each day in our homeschool. But we must focus on him first. Homeschooling is between you and God. It is not between you and the family down the street that homeschools. It is not between you and the families at co-op that homeschool. It's not between you and me. You are not here to impress anybody except God. He's the principal of your homeschool. You are to answer to him. It's very easy these days to go on the internet and read the blogs and read the different websites about homeschooling and feel defeated before you even begin. Wow, look at their homeschool room. It's so pretty. You know what? I know that we want a nice room that is organized and that works well, and that God is a God of order and he wants us to be orderly. But I also don't believe that it matters much to him if we have a cute little homeschool room on the outside. and we aren't really focused on the inside. God cares what our children's hearts look like, not what our homeschool rooms look like. Remember that. We do not have to have it all perfect on the outside. When it comes to choosing curriculum, I feel the exact same way. God can work through no matter what curriculum we choose if our hearts are in the right place. We need to have our hearts focused on Him. He needs to be the center of our homeschool. So before you even start planning, you need to pray. And then before you start planning, you still need to write down your goals, because every family has unique goals in their homeschool. And like I said, God has created each family to be different. Your homeschool is not supposed to look like anybody else's. Your homeschool is supposed to be unique for the purposes that God has created for your family. He did not create your family to fulfill the same purpose as another homeschooling family. So if somebody out there is excelling in one area in their homeschool, or their kids are winning the Bible Bee, or their kids are math whizzes, that's wonderful. Rejoice with them. Don't covet somebody else's life. Don't say, that should be me. Those should be my kids. Look at your family and say, okay, God has created us uniquely for a purpose. Maybe my kids aren't going to be these academic geniuses. Maybe they are, but it doesn't matter, because God has a unique purpose for each family. So write down your goals for your family. After seeking Him in prayer, what are the goals that you feel He is calling for your family? It could be that your kids will not go to college. They may do a trade. They may be missionaries. They may own a farm, own their own business. Or they may be out there in college and doing an amazing career in a specialty trained field. But what's important is that you're seeking God on those things and you are focusing on the hearts. I have always said, and I truly believe, and our life verse is Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be provided to you. And I believe that goes for our homeschools as well. If we seek Him first in everything, He will provide, including in academics, and He will fulfill His purposes for your family. So write down with your husband and your kids, include them in it, and say, look, guys, this is what we have for the year for our goals. And you may have different character goals for each child. And again, just like each family is different, each child has a unique purpose. Don't compare children. Each child within your family has been created uniquely by God for a purpose. And our job as a homeschool mom and dad is to let them discover that purpose, and to help them discover that purpose, and to train them to put God first, to train them to seek God in everything, to read the scriptures, be close with God, seeking Him all the time in prayer and in listening. So our job is to train them to find their purpose, and each child will have a unique purpose. So after you're done writing out their goals, then create a mission statement for your family. Sit down and say, this is the mission of our homeschool. This is what we feel God has called us to do at home. And then when you write that mission statement, put it somewhere in your house that you can see it. Put it in your homeschool room, or, you know, the room you spend the most time in. Put it in your homeschool binder or your planner. Keep it somewhere where you can see it often, because there will be days where you'll want to send them back to school, or you'll want to give up, or you'll want to say, hey, we're failing. I don't want to do this anymore. That's why you need that mission statement. You need that there so that you can remember and keep focused. It is very easy to lose focus these days. As soon as we have a bad day, we say, that's it. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm not doing this anymore. And I've done that. Our very first year of homeschooling, it was about January, which I feel is one of the hardest times of the year to homeschool, because the excitement of the new year is over. The holidays have just passed. Those were exciting. And it's dark in January. It gets dark early. It's cold. We can't go outside much. And looking ahead to June seems like an eternity away. And you start to feel a little claustrophobic there in your homeschool. So our very first year in January, I went and looked at the local Christian school because I thought, I can't do this. This is too hard. Well, guess what? Anything in life worth doing is going to be difficult. I don't think missionaries out there say this is so easy to live in the jungle and to have our lives threatened and to live under persecution. This is so easy and comfortable. God did not call us to be comfortable when we are obeying a mission. He wants it to be difficult. That's how we learn and grow, and that's how we get closer to Him. So when it gets difficult, remember that nothing worth doing is ever easy, and look at the difficulties and see that God is using them to help you, to grow you. Keep that mission statement where you can see it, because I promise you, whether you're just starting out or those of you who have been doing this a while, you know there will be bad days. Expect them. Don't be all thrown off guard like, I had a bad day? How could this happen? No, expect it. Be prepared at the beginning of your homeschool year. Be prepared that you will have rough times. And if you go in there with your armor of God on, fully equipped, you can handle any of those hard times. And in fact, you'll not just persevere through them, you'll come out stronger on the other end. Okay, so once we are spiritually ready to even begin our planning, and we feel that we have sought God and we have prayed, and, you know, it's a continuous thing. We should be praying every single day over our homeschools. Then it's time to start with the curriculum planning. And that is, I think, the most overwhelming part, especially if you have multiple age children, which I have four. So I know over the years we've had to include, 1 year it was just one child, then gradually it was two, then three, now four. So we have to plan accordingly for multiple ages. And we'll get to that in a little bit about how you can make that easier. But when you are choosing curriculum, the number one thing to remember is all of the curriculum out there is good. There is no perfect curriculum. It's all good. And what I think can happen to us is we start out, at least I did the first few years, constantly switching curriculum. I would start out with something, it was working okay, then I would see what somebody else was doing. Oh, that looks great. I'll try that next year. And we were constantly switching. It wasn't keeping our focus where it should be. As homeschoolers, we are abundantly blessed. We have such a huge variety to choose from. You can homeschool in any which way you desire. I laugh when people ask me, oh, you homeschool, you must get the books from the school. I'm like, no, you should see how much curriculum is available to us as homeschoolers. Have you seen a homeschool convention? Have you walked a convention hall? There's miles and miles of vendors, right? There is so much to choose from. So we are blessed in that aspect, but it also can be overwhelming. How do we even begin to sort through it? Now, if you're just starting out, you will probably try out a few things, and that's okay. You will probably try out different things to see what works for you. But what I'm saying is, if you're a few years into this, hey, if you're 10 years into this and you're still switching back and forth, trying to find that perfect one, that's a red flag, because there really is no perfect curriculum. They're all good. It's just selecting one that works and then stick with it. That's really important. Once you find something that works, do not, and I repeat, do not order another curriculum catalog. Do not go online searching out math curriculum if you have one that works. After the first few years of me switching around, we finally settled on, you know, the core things that we use that are working well. And that is what I do. I stick with those. I do not go looking when there's a new, brand new, shiny product out there. I do not look at it because I have something that works and it's great. So when you're choosing curriculum, of course, you're going to pray about it first. And then you're going to turn on your computer and you're going to spend hours and all of a sudden you're going to be overwhelmed. No, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to look what's out there a little bit at a time. Do not spend hours, because it's like the endless black hole. You will get sucked in. You will go from one site to the next. And I'm telling you, it's a time waster. It's a spirit waster. you end up feeling defeated, yuck. You feel weighed down. You feel overwhelmed. So I'm telling you, spend a little time, write down the things that look good for your family or would be a good fit, and come back to them. Do not spend hours. Limit your time on the computer. It can be such a distraction, and the devil loves to distract us, and he wants us to think that we need to be all wrapped up and that we need to spend these endless hours. But you know what? That's taking time away from your family. If I added up all the time I spent in the beginning of my homeschool journey, I would be ashamed. I spent hours upon hours upon hours those summers, constantly looking for curriculum. And you know what? In the end, it was really a distraction. It took away time from my family. It took away time I could have been with my kids. They were all so little at the time. Those are the years that are so important. And we don't need to be spending hours upon hours on the internet. Do it after they go to bed. I'm telling you, you will never regret spending that time with your children, but you will regret spending a lot of extra time on things that didn't need to be spent on. So really limit the time. Do it when your kids are not around. And once you find something that looks good and is working, then stick with it. So once you start getting your core things for your curriculum, say like your language arts, your math, science, and if you have young ones out there, I'm telling you, your kids are going to learn so much. You do not need to have a big formal curriculum in the early years of homeschooling. It's funny, my little guy is just 5, and we were out to dinner the other night at the Olive Garden, and on the little kids menu, there was a cartoon of the Colosseum. And in the middle of dinner, he looks down and goes, "Hey, look, the Colosseum." I'm like, "How do you know that?" He's like, "From homeschool. It's ancient Rome." And I'm like, "That's so awesome." I didn't teach him that. I taught the older kids about that this year, but he's there and he's listening. These little kids are like sponges. They don't want to be force-fed information in the early years where they're sitting down and they're just doing worksheets and workbooks. Little ones are made to explore, and they're made to go outside and to learn and to turn over rocks and to learn about bugs in a very natural way, to learn about nature in a very natural way. They will absorb everything, right? You know that your 4-year-old will repeat back everything you said when no one's around, and you don't, sometimes you're like, "Oh no, don't say that," right? They hear it all and they retain it. They remember it. So just use that natural inclination to learn and let them learn about their world. Do not stifle it by saying, "It's school time, sit down, we're going to do math from 10 to 10:20. Oh, the bell is over. It's 10:20. The bell is ringing. It's time to move on." If your child is engaged in something in those early years and they're learning, do not tell them it's time to stop and move on to the next subject. If you spent all day on that one thing, so be it. They're learning. I know in the older years, as children get more towards middle and high school, which is where we're at now, there is a need to have some more disciplined studies. But in the early years, truly, you do not need to spend a lot of money on curriculum. You do not need to have a very formal set way of doing things. Let them learn. You will be amazed at how much they do learn when they're interested and when they're not told, you know, to sit still or to fill out a workbook for a certain amount of time. So in the early years, curriculum does not have to be complicated. For my little guy who's just starting kindergarten, he is doing math just in every day, you know, counting objects, sorting, adding and subtracting, just in everyday objects and talking. We haven't even opened up a formal book yet. And we will use some formal things for reading. But keep it really simple. Simple is always better. Our kids are not little adults. They don't work the same way we do. They're not meant to sit in a little cubicle at a computer or at a desk with a pencil all day long. They are meant to move. They are meant to explore. That is how they learn. So when you're choosing curriculum, like I said, don't get overwhelmed. Write down your few favorites. Research those out. And when you have found something that works, if somebody comes and tells you at co-op, "Oh, there's a great new spelling program, put your fingers in your ears and say, "La, la, 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 I can't hear you." Because I'm telling you, You have something that works. You don't need to look elsewhere. Schedules. Schedules are another thing at the beginning of the year. It's like you have that empty planner and you look at it and you say, how am I going to fit this all in? And I will tell you from experience, we have done every type of schedule there is out there. One year I planned, you know, every 15 minutes of the day what we would be doing in 15-minute increments. I've also done times where we've had no schedule. And in the end, what works best for us is always a happy medium. For us, it's best to have a loose schedule, kind of like a skeleton of our day, where I know that this is the flow of our day. And kids do need the predictability, I feel, of a schedule and a little bit of boundaries, like this is morning time is when we do individual work. Afternoon time is a little bit more free exploring. Morning time is a little more formal work. So that's fine to have because kids do thrive on those boundaries and on predictability. But it doesn't have to be down to every 15 minutes. Now, if you have a large family, I know it feels like a sense of control when you write down in the planner, right? Doesn't it feel like when you're writing it all down in the planner, it feels like this false sense of control? I have it on paper. It's all under control. But then once you get into the thick of life, you realize that what's on paper doesn't always translate to life. So if you leave a little bit of space in there and a little bit of leeway to let life get in the way, then you won't be feeling so defeated on those days where everything is chaos. We've had everything interrupt our homeschool, from family emergencies to a baby in the house, you know, having a baby one year. One year my father was sick. One year we had my nephew born. He was sick. We had a job loss in there. My husband lost his job. We had a time last year where we thought we were moving and then God changed the plan. So we had to unpack back in the same house everything we thought we were moving. All of these things, though, were teaching my children about real life. And they were also showing how mom and dad handle interruptions in life. Every day in our life does not go according to a plan book, and every day in our homeschool does not go according to a plan book. And often the best lessons we have learned were the ones I never even planned in a plan book. So we have to remember we're preparing our children for life, and there's no better way for them to learn than being immersed in real life every single day. So, you know, leave room in your planner and your schedule, understanding that life is going to get in the way. So when that happens and an emergency comes up or something comes up, you're not taken by surprise. You're looking at it and saying, okay, God, what are you teaching us through this? What are you teaching us through these interruptions? Embrace them. Don't fight them, because they're always going to happen. That's life. Life is not predictable, nor do we want it to be, because then we wouldn't be learning as much. So when you are writing out your schedule, you can make it very simple. You can buy a planner that helps you, or a pre-printed. There's so many free downloads out there. But again, don't get caught up on the internet looking at every free download on Pinterest. Close that computer. Find one planner that's pre-printed out, or buy one, and that's it. Stick with it. Use it. They're all good. So you will start writing out, you know, your family schedule. What kinds of things are we going to do together? Group as many children as you can in there together. We always did science, history, geography, all of those things together up until middle school age. And then my daughter started working independently in seventh grade. But we always did everything together when they were younger. And that really helped a great deal. Reading read-alouds of all different levels to all the kids. This way the younger ones get something out of it. And the older ones, they still enjoy sitting and listening to picture books. Even if they won't say they do, they do. So we read all different levels to make sure that every level was met and they all got something out of it. So I would write down family time. We have what's called now, I've coined it in the last few years, as our family hour. We do not start our homeschool. We do not open a book until we have done our Bible study, because that is the foundation of our homeschool. God has called us to homeschool. He has called us here for a reason. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on Him each day, and we are going to seek Him each day. We study our Bible as a family. You can read all about what we did 2 years ago now. We had a very unique year You can read about this on my website, Bible-Based Homeschooling. There's an ebook I have for download. It's free. And it outlines what we did that year when we used the Bible actually as our main textbook. We did not purchase any curriculum that year except math. Every single thing we learned came from the Bible, from science to history to spelling to writing. It all came from the Bible passages we were studying. We had the most amazing year actually that year. And I would continue to do it every year, but I would tell you it is a lot of work. So while the year was fantastic, I just know that at this stage in my life that it's a lot of work and it's okay to take help out there and use other curriculum sources now. But we still use the Bible as the foundation of our day. So if we are having a busy day and we're sort of rushed, we still don't skip the Bible. And there was times when I would do that. And I realized that I would say to the kids, all right, we're busy. We'll just get to Bible later. Get your math books out. That was telling everybody, okay, math is more important than God. Are you kidding me? The God who created us, the God who created the universe, the God who saved us from darkness, the God who has called us to this journey, and I'm saying math is more important? No. So I had to reevaluate, and I had to say, you know what? This is a non-negotiable thing. Bible comes first, and if we don't get to math that day, God is going to honor the fact that we spent time with him first. And I believe that he will provide, like I said in Matthew 6:33, all of the rest if we're seeking him first. So we no longer put Bible at the end of the day or as kind of a fill-in. You know, it kind of makes me cringe to think about how little we do study our Bibles sometimes at home as families, where I hear people say, well, our Bible time is our Bible story at night or a little devotion before bed. Bible needs to be your first and foremost lesson of the day. I really believe that. Studying the Bible is exciting. Studying and seeing how things tie together, how God works. I mean, there is so much in there. And I'm not saying every day has to be this big in-depth discussion, but sometimes it is. Sometimes we'll be discussing something and an hour goes by and that's fine. If we don't get to the other stuff, that's fine with me. Because we've studied the most important thing. God is the one who authored history. He is the author of science. He created math. These are the things that he created. So I want my kids to know him first and foremost. And I believe he is the one who ultimately will teach us everything else. So our family hour consists of our Bible study. And that is just reading through whatever book we are studying at the time. And then we use various resources like commentaries or other books to discuss it, to, you know, learn as a family. And then we spend some time in prayer, and we also spend some time sometimes worshiping, and we'll sing. And then after our family studies, then we will, and sometimes that Bible study actually also includes history and geography. I usually tie in our history studies and geography to whatever Bible period we're studying at the time. So that all kind of gets taken care of then. And then we go on and we do our individual work. And depending on the grade level, each year looks different. When the children were smaller, they needed me a lot more. So their individual time consisted of one-on-one time with me. And the way I scheduled that with multiple ages was the youngest child had me first alone, while the other two started working on their assignments. And if they came to something that they needed help with, then they were to simply sit and wait, and there were other things they could play with or do while they waited, but they could not interrupt me while I was with that one child. Because in the beginning, I would say, okay, for three children, it's math time, and I try to sit there and divide myself up between all three of them, and they were all three on different levels, and it was very difficult. So then I started implementing the individual time. So the youngest one, he needed me the most because he couldn't read at the time. So I would spend the most time with him. And then when I was finished with him, he would go off and play, and I would go on to the next oldest and then finally to the oldest child. And that worked really well, especially them knowing they could not interrupt me while I was working with another child. We usually take a nice long break at lunchtime. It's a good time to get laundry done for me, answer phone calls, answer emails, do my online work. And knowing that I had that break coming, I didn't feel like while we were doing school, I had to go run and throw the laundry in, or while we were doing school, my mind wasn't on my list of things to do. While we were doing school, I could be truly focused on the kids. Knowing that 11:30 comes, I have the break, that is my time to get things done. And then the children also enjoyed knowing they were having that nice long break to do anything they wanted. They could go outside, they could play inside, but it was free time. Then we would have lunch together. And then before we start back up again on any more studies in the afternoon, we pray again to refocus. We sit and take time and we read a Bible verse or we pray and we just ask God to help us focus again for the afternoon. And the afternoon would be tying up any loose ends from the morning and then spending time reading books together out loud, reading good literature together, and doing arts and crafts or having some free time to explore interests. Especially when my children were younger, we usually got most of our formal work done before lunch. So afternoon was, you know, crafts and outdoor time, computer time, you know, just free time, but it was all useful free time. It was educational stuff. And then later on in the day, dinner time, we would have, that could be the time where if they wanted to do the iPad or they wanted to take out their electronics, they could do that then. If it's nice out though, they're usually outside, and that was the flow of our day. So there's a general flow to our day, but it's not scheduled out so strictly. And when you're planning your schedule, you can just look at what works best for your family. Do you work best on knowing that from 10 to 11, you're doing this and 11 to 12, you're doing that? If that works for you, that's fine. It's just when you become a slave to that schedule and you don't allow for extras or life to get in the way. The other thing I want to say about scheduling is don't overschedule outside activities in the beginning of the year. You can always add more in later than making a really full schedule and feeling overwhelmed. You don't want to be burnt out by November. You don't want the holidays to come and you just feel like you are so overwhelmed that, hey, I thought we were homeschooling, but we're running around every single day. Allow days where you're home just to focus on homeschooling and on home stuff. We've had different years where we've had different schedules for outside activities, and we've always had one day of the week where we're outside for a fine arts program where my children take music and dance and choir and art, and that's an all-day thing, so that is our day out. Other years, I've scheduled other days out for different outside activities, and what I have found in the end is we are always feeling burnt out. So this year, we're having that one day out scheduled, and I'm really looking forward to the other days being open so that we're home, but we can also sort of add things in if we feel the need to. Remember that, like I said before, the devil loves to distract us, and he also loves to make us think that if we're busy, we're successful. Busy does not equal success. We can run around looking like we're successful because, oh, we're running from this co-op to this activity to all these different things. But if our hearts aren't in the right place and we're actually grumbling inside because, oh, we have to run out here and our kids are grumbling because they're always eating dinner in the car, that is not success, right? God wants our children's hearts, and he doesn't want us to be running around busy. Busy is successful maybe in the world's eyes, but not in God's. Remember, we are homeschooling because we are training our children's hearts. That is the number one thing we should be doing. And some people do thrive on busyness, and some people do thrive when they have a full schedule. But what I'm saying is if we're not thriving and we're actually just feeling very defeated inside or we're grumbling about it, then we're not thriving on being busy. So we need to really evaluate our time. Do not fill up your schedule. Don't fill up your calendar before you have filled up on God. I really believe a lot of the reasons we need to simplify is because we have filled up on a lot of the things that the world offers, and we forget to fill up on God first. So if you have a full calendar, but you haven't been filled on his word, then you need to reevaluate. Fill up on him, okay? Do not succumb to the world's view that if you are a busy person and if your family is involved in every activity, then you will be successful. Okay, you really need to evaluate your time. So when you're making your schedule, keep it loose. Keep it so that you have some time in there to schedule other things on later on. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about your homeschool space and where you will homeschool and preparing that. At the beginning of the year, it's always very exciting to set up a new room. We did that in the beginning. We had a classroom. We set up our office. We turned it into a classroom complete with a blackboard and a calendar and a flag for the flag salute. And we tried to make school at home. And then I woke up over the years and realized, hey, I don't want school at home. We're doing this because we're different. We don't need to recreate the public school in my house. If I wanted my children to go to school, they'd be at school. So at home, we have the flexibility of creating a learning area. There doesn't have to be just one set room for schooling. And the other thing is we all want order and we want a space. We do have an area where we keep our homeschool things. But homeschool usually takes place all over the house and even outside. We've done writing assignments sitting up in a tree. We've done reading out on the hammock. We have homeschooled in every room of our house. And that's the way it should be. We're always learning. But we do want to have a place of order to keep our things organized. Just don't get caught up in what it looks like. Keep remembering that God cares about the heart. He doesn't want the outside to be perfect and the inside to be a mess, right? So don't go on Pinterest. Just don't do it to yourself at this time of year. I know it's hard. You look at all those cute rooms and you want yours to look like that. But that's just the worldly view again. God can work through any space. He is not confined to a homeschool classroom. And just, I'm teasing when I say don't go on Pinterest. It's okay to look and get ideas and it's fun. But it's not fun when you get off the internet and you're feeling really low and you're feeling like you look around your house. Why isn't my house as nice as that? You begin to covet and you really do spiral down into the wrong place. So look at those things with discerning eyes. Do not spend hours on Pinterest. That I would say. Do not spend hours on Pinterest. You do want a nice space. Of course, you know, the atmosphere of our home is important. But it is not all about cutesy little bins from IKEA or Pottery Barn and little baskets that are so perfect. God doesn't care if you use a Rubbermaid tote from dollar store, you know, a little plastic container, or if you have this cutesy bin. God cares what your children's hearts look like, and He cares what we are teaching them on the inside. So you want to have a nice organized space, but don't emphasize the room, the homeschool room, because that actually can become idolatry. Homeschooling actually can quickly become an idol where everything we do revolves around our homeschool and we're homeschoolers and we want to represent Christ. We want people to look at us and know that we love Christ, not that we're homeschoolers. I would rather somebody look at me and say she loves the Lord than she's a homeschooler. So represent Him. And if homeschooling is a part of that, that's wonderful. But don't let it become your identity. Your identity is a child of God. Your identity is that you are saved by Christ and not that you are a homeschooler. So don't get caught up in what everything looks like on the outside. So have a nice space. It could be a room that you've dedicated. It could just be a corner. But do not get caught up in what it looks like. Another thing I would say is really important if you are so blessed to have a friend that you could help keep you accountable during the year, another homeschooling mom that you guys could get together, even if it's just once a month in the evening, go for coffee without the children, where you can kind of talk about your month and how it went and, you know, help keep each other accountable. Help keep each other focused on hearts. If you don't have a friend like that, start praying for one. God will put somebody in your life. Ask Him to help send them into your life so that you could have somebody where you get together once a month. And I have been blessed to have friends where I can do this. Pray for your children together as moms. And if you can't do it at night without the kids, get together for a play date. Let the kids go play. And you guys pray. I did this one year with two dear friends and it was awesome. We would do like a park prayer play date. The kids would go play at the park while we would sit under the little gazebo at the park, and we would pray for each other, for each other's kids, sort of talk about, you know, where we were at in our life, not just our homeschool, but where, how things were going. Have somebody like that to help keep you focused. It's so important. And like I said, if you don't have a friend like that right now, start praying for God to send you one. It's really important to be around like-minded friends that can help keep you accountable and help keep you focused. Another thing I would suggest is to keep a journal. I have a journal that is so dear to me that I kept the summer before I began homeschooling. And to see the turmoil that I was going through in my heart, and I was asking God, you know, what should I do? Should I homeschool? And I really struggled that first year because I did not go willingly to homeschooling. I heard the calling from God and I ran as far as I could. I thought it was impossible. I didn't think I could do it. So for me, looking back, those journals are invaluable to see the testimony of how God worked through our homeschool journey and through my life and through my family's life. It's truly amazing. So now I would suggest keeping a journal of prayers, answered prayers, thoughts. It doesn't have to be some fancy journal. Again, God cares about our hearts. But just writing down little snippets here and there. And you will look back someday and you will have a testimony that you could even show your kids. Look how God worked through those times. So journal your year, journal your journey. I've really enjoyed this time, and I hope you were encouraged. I hope that you were not only able to gain some practical tips to prepare yourself for the new school year, most of all, I hope that I pointed you in the right direction, and that is up. That I pointed you to God, that you can remember to keep focused in your homeschool. All the planning and all the preparation in the world does not matter unless we have Him at the center. So my goal is to just encourage you all out there to keep it simple, keep it focused, and keep God at the center of your homeschool. I wish you blessings and joy. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read more about simplifying homeschool or simplifying all aspects of our life, you can find me at www.simplylivingforhim.com. And you can also read about our journey to have a Bible-based homeschool. I write at www.biblebasedhomeschooling.com. And that is also a site where I share advertising for various Christian resources. I share daily different resources that are on sale or that are free to help us homeschool our children on a budget and to keep those resources biblically based. So you can visit me there. Subscribe to my newsletter, and I can send out emails where you can receive updates on what kinds of sales are going on around the web. This way you don't have to do all the work of searching out the sales. I do it for you. And you can also, like I said, find me at Simply Living for Him. And I have 3 ebooks available, Simply Homeschool, Called Home, and Bible-Based Homeschooling. You can find those on all 3 of my sites as well. And thank you to Farmhouse Studios for helping me with this download and recording. And that is my husband's graphic design business. And you can find him at www.farmhousestudios.com. That's our family business, and we'd love to have you visit us. Thanks again for listening.